I'm going to say the prayer before I preach today. Normally I do prayer at the end of my sermon, but today I'm going to just do something different at the end of my sermon. So let's bow our heads and pray. Oh Lord, you promised to open our minds so that we may understand your word. You promised to open our eyes so that we may see the risen Christ. You also promised to open our hearts so that we may listen and obey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm returning to my sermon series today on the words of the risen Christ. Today is part 4 of the 8 sermons altogether. In today's text, Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop unbelieving." If you were following today's text, it is translated, "Do not be unbelieving," but my translation would be, "Stop unbelieving." Now, today's story is well known to most of us as the story of the doubting Thomas who refused to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, although we heard about him before, almost like once a year around Easter time, or even we read the words and the interaction between Thomas and the risen Christ this morning, let's check them out once more. May God open our hearts again and speak to us. To me, there are a few things that stand out in today's story. First of all, from today's story, I discovered that God is everywhere, omnipresent, and God hears our conversation. Every conversation. Did you know that God knows everything going on in your life right now? How many of you believe that? Some of us are not sure. Yes, you better believe he knows every single thing, to the point where he even knows how many hair strands you have. God knows what we are up against, and he sees every move we take. He hears every word we speak. He examines every thought we have in mind. He even knows what's hidden deep, deep in our hearts. Whatever you call subconsciousness, believe it. God knows it all. You don't believe my word? Listen to the word of God. Daniel chapter 2, verse 22. God reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Nothing can we hide from God. I'm taking you to the time when Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples. At the time, Thomas wasn't with them. They all have witnessed the risen Christ. So later time, when they met with Thomas, they told every one of them, 10 of them told him that we have seen the risen Christ. And this is what Thomas said. He refused believing in their accounts. And he said to them, "I won't believe anything you say unless I put my finger into the nail mark scar and my hand into his side." Do you think Jesus heard every single word Thomas said that day? I do. Note here, if you look at verse 25 in your bulletin, how strong the tone of his word in 25 basically says, "I will not believe." You know, something's lost in translation here. In English translation, it says, "I will not believe." But in Greek, original language, it literally means, "I will not," lowercase, and "not," uppercase, "believe." It repeats twice. "I will not believe." You know, in English logic and grammar, double negation, they call, it means that weak sense of affirmation. It's not too bad. It means that it's not that good, but it's not really. You see what I'm saying? But in Greek language, double negative means never, ever. Very strong, emphatic refusal Thomas has. I'll never, ever believe. That's what it means. Don't you think Jesus also quietly heard that strong refusal from the mouth of Thomas? Yes, you better believe he did. Now, to the 10 disciples, seeing the risen Christ was believing. Yes, we have seen him. He has risen. But to Thomas, it was not enough. Seeing the risen Christ was not an enough evidence to believe in the actual resurrection of the Lord. Thomas wanted to touch Jesus. He wanted to feel the risen Christ. He wanted to put his finger and hand into the nail marks and the side of Jesus the crucified before he's confessed, "Now I believe." What a stubborn man he was. That day, when Thomas spoke those words, strong words, to his fellow disciples, I bet Jesus heard them all. Every single word of it, loud and clear. So move your time. 8 days later, they got together again, and this time all the 11 disciples, including the Thomas, the risen Christ appeared in their midst. I believe the sole reason why the Lord appeared to them this time was because of Thomas. Wouldn't you agree? After saying, "Shalom, peace to you," to the 11, Jesus turned to Thomas and spoke to him directly. Looking straight at him, Jesus directed his words to nobody else but Thomas, saying, "Bring your finger to my nail mark and throw your hand into my side." After that, Thomas had enough. He cried out to Jesus saying, "My Lord and my God." The scripture doesn't say, but I think he was kneeling down. He was worshiping Jesus. What an unforgettable encounter with the Messiah. Now, if you ask me what I think of Thomas and his character, I would say he was a very stubborn man for sure, yet genuine. The risen Christ did not appear, mind you, to everyone who had doubts on his physical resurrection. But to Thomas, for some reason he did. I think because Thomas was genuine. Did you know that the same Thomas later on took the gospel to India, the country India, thousands of miles away from Israel, where he became a martyr? I must say this. I mean, a true conversion like Thomas's takes place in your life. You will never waver in faith. Those who truly experienced Jesus would never deny him afterwards. If you are converted like Thomas did, you will never forsake the Lord. Think of Paul the Apostle. He was the persecutor. He was responsible for murders of some, innocent Christians. And he was responsible for imprisonment of so many believers in Christ. Yet when he met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, guess what? He was never the same. He died for Christ. True conversion means true to Jesus. Now if you look at verse 27, Jesus said to Thomas, "Stop unbelieving." Once again, it literally means stop being the one without faith. Wait a minute. Let's consider Thomas one more time. He was not an unbeliever. He was one of the 12 disciples, chosen ones. He believed in God for sure. He believed in Jesus the Messiah. And he did the ministry with Jesus for 3 years. And he performed many miracles in the name of Jesus, such as healing the sick and casting out demons from the people. He even was ready to die for the Lord. In my humble opinion, he was the believer in Christ. So what does it mean when Jesus told him to stop being the one without faith? It means this, folks. When it comes down to the resurrection of Christ, unless you believe it, you are not a believer. How else can you interpret Jesus' words? The faith in Christ's resurrection is that much important. Listen, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth, two things, that Jesus as Lord and Savior, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. I see two conditions here for your salvation. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, and second, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It begins to make sense now why Christ's resurrection and belief in it is so critical for our salvation. Now, there's some believers like Thomas, as far as Christ's resurrection is concerned, not believing what the Bible says about Christ's resurrection, and they still seek tangible proofs, scientific proof, that if someone proves that someone could come back from the dead, then I'll believe Christ's resurrection. It is quite intriguing to me to see Jesus here in today's text kind enough to appear second time and allow Thomas to put his finger and hand to his nail marks and side. I must say that Thomas was very special, and he was blessed in a sense that he was the only one who was allowed in human history to bring his finger and hand and place them in Christ's nail marks and side. Remember Mary Magdalene, one of the ladies following close and serving, ministering to Jesus? Even on the first morning, she was the one first witness the risen Christ. When she wanted to touch Jesus' feet and worship, you know what Jesus says? Touch me not. You see what I'm saying? Yet somehow, Jesus allowed Thomas to touch his body. To me, it's an amazing privilege and blessing. Yet Christ says that there are people who are more blessed than Thomas. Why? Because they believe without seeing. You know, to be honest with you, believing is a funny business. Some people have strong faith in Christ. They don't struggle with miracles of God at all. They don't need any proof of God's existence and powers. Believing in the resurrection of the dead comes so naturally to them, too. On the other hand, there are others who are very skeptical about God's miracles. Parting of the sea and even Christ's own body resurrection, let alone of their own. But Jesus says, if you believe all these miracles, including the resurrection, without seeing any proof, you are the blessed one. Do you believe in Jesus' resurrection? Then, thank God for your faith. You are blessed. Even though you don't have $1 million, you are blessed in the sight of God. If you still look for God's signs and proofs in your faith, I pray with all sincerity that God will be kind enough to you to show what you search for, like he did for Thomas. As for closing, I will say this. Have faith in God, because without faith, you cannot please God. It is impossible to please God. Believe that God exists, and second, that he rewards those who seek him. Believe that God is with you. Believe that God is in charge, and that no one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Believe that he will see you through all your life challenges. Have faith in Jesus as well. Believe that he died for your sins and that he resurrected from the dead. Believe in your own resurrection as well. Someday, all of us will be standing in the presence of God, the time of resurrection. Everyone will be resurrected. Stop unbelieving. That's what Jesus says this morning. Start believing. Be a blessed one. Amen.